Well, today I read a scripture from the book of Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 13, if you would like to follow along. Hebrews chapter 13, verses 1 through 8, and then we skip to verses 15 through 16. Hear Paul's words to the Christians. Verse 1, let mutual love continue. Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for by doing that, some have entertained angels without knowing it. Remember those who are in prison as though you were in prison with them, those who are being tortured as though you yourselves were being tortured. Let marriage be held in honor by all, and let the marriage bed be kept undefiled, for God will judge fornicators and adulterers. Keep your lives free from the love of money, and be content with what you have. For he has said, I will never leave you or forsake you. So we can say with confidence, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What can anyone do to me? Remember your leaders, those who spoke the word of God to you. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Through him, then, let us continually offer a sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of lips that confess his name. Do not neglect to do good and to share what you have, for such sacrifices are pleasing to God. May God add his blessing on his reading, on this reading of his word. Amen. Well, several years ago, my parents and I went on a trip together to St. Louis, and one of our main stops was, of course, the Arch. We crammed into that little capsule and took our ride up to the top. It seemed like forever, crammed in there like sardines. And up there, we were peering out the windows, seeing as far as we could see. But while doing so, I felt a tap on my shoulder. I looked back, and to my surprise, it was a friend that I had gone to college with, that I had not seen in years. I could not believe it. We both were startled, because what were the chances that we would be at the same place, way across the state, and we timed it just right that we ended up on top of the Arch together? Wow. I also remember a time that I was on a youth trip with the youth at Ebenezer Church. Now, on this annual trip to Branson, our first stop was to see the Precious Moments Chapel, which, honestly, as a teenage boy, I was not that excited about. I followed the group inside and looked around, you know, as the tour guide was pointing out all sorts of things, but my mind was wandering. I was thinking of the roller coasters at Silver Dollar City. Well, as I was looking around, wondering, I saw a classmate, Jackie. Jackie and her brothers lived just down the road from us, east of St. Joe. We had gone to school for 13 years together. This was yet another time when I was far away from home and saw somebody that it blew my mind, I least expected. Have you ever had a time like that where you were far away from home and you thought, and you never dreamed you would see somebody that you knew? It was unexpected. Well, our scripture today mentions unexpected angels. God comes many times unexpected to us, and he calls us to reach out in hospitality to others and be his unexpected presence as well. Well, today we read from the last chapter in the book of Hebrews, which Paul is believed to have written about 45 years after Jesus's life and death. He was writing to several little house churches that were sprinkled around the Roman Empire. They weren't in church buildings. They were all in homes. And they were just kind of sprinkled all throughout the Roman Empire. And it seems like they were going through a pretty hard time. Most of these folks used to be Jews. They had converted to Christianity through baptism. They believed in the way of Jesus, in his way of love and grace. And they believed that Jesus was the promised fulfillment of the scriptures that they knew and loved. But they missed the familiarity of their former religion. Some of them had been ostracized by their families because of their conversion to the faith. And sometimes they were a bit confused about all the details about how their Christian faith related to the faith of their childhood as Jews. So Paul wrote this letter to them. He mentions shaming and persecution. It seems like they were doubting if all of this was worth the trouble. He talked a lot about doctrine to clear up some questions they had about Jesus and how Jesus is the fulfillment of the Old Testament law. But in verse 13, it's like he switches gears, and he pours out his heart to them, and he sounds like a good pastor. He told them in verse 1, let mutual love continue. Now, I know you already know the Greek word to this that Paul used to describe it. The Greek word, I'll give you a hint. It's the name of a city, Philadelphia, if you guessed it. Some translations will say, let brotherly love continue. Now, you see, Paul has addressed his audience as brothers and siblings and sisters multiple times. Relationships are very important to Paul, whether it be our relationship to God, our relationship to others, and even, as he says in verse 2, our relationship with strangers. As he said in verse 2, don't forget to show hospitality to strangers. Now, this hospitality that Paul was talking about to strangers wasn't just about opening the door for somebody and smiling and saying, what's up? You know, this hospitality, the Greek word that was translated into hospitality is called philoxenia, which means love of stranger. Paul thinks that the loving of a stranger is the same as loving God. Because when we meet a stranger, or to say it another way, when we meet somebody strange, you just might be having an encounter, an unexpected one, with God. Now, the word that Paul uses here is unexpected angels, or angels unaware. And his Jewish audience would have been very familiar with angels. The angels in the Jewish tradition, though, were not as precious as the ones you might have on the shelf. In fact, Hallmark would probably not be able to sell them if they were biblically accurate. Angels visits people several times in Scripture, and most of the time, they are frightening. Sometimes we ourselves find ourselves in strange places with strange people, and it's unsettling and frightening. And it's hard to love others, especially strangers and people that we may find strange, like we do our own loved ones. But this is what Paul tells us and his Christians to do. So this is where our relationships with others become a sacrifice. You know, when we hang out with people that we love and that we enjoy being with, it's not much of a sacrifice. I mean, we just like being with them. We don't have to give up much. But when we are with a stranger or someone we find strange, to say it that way, it makes it all the more difficult, and we have to sacrifice a bit. We have to compromise. And so how do we see strangers with the same love that God has for each one of us? Now, Paul takes his commandment even further. He says in verse 4 to remember those in prison. Now, given the context, there were probably some Christians who were innocently imprisoned because of their faith. We know this to be true. And Paul was wanting them to remember their peers who were going through great trial. But also, there were many people in prison who deserved it. And even then, Paul was telling believers to have empathy on people. And it really gave them the commandment to have empathy because this is what God's love is all about. Paul wanted us to have compassion even for those who don't deserve it, because I think probably what he was saying in between the lines is God does the same thing for us every day. Now, verse 4, oh my, where did this come from? Paul addresses this sort of thing, this subject, all throughout his letters. And if there's anything that's more hotly debated from Scripture, it's sex. Now, Sunday morning, this morning, really isn't the place to get into this, but I think understanding the context helps us understand how it fits within our theme of relationships. In the larger culture, people were very casual about this sort of thing than our culture today. I mean, brothels, they were as common as Dollar General in ancient Rome. Paul was telling believers to stand out in a novel and noticeable way and to show real solid faithfulness to one another. In a marriage or with a significant other, you've got to compromise. You've got to be faithful to one another and one another's needs and concerns. You see, we can understand this very broadly, not just the bedroom. In verse 4, he says, "Let marriage be held in honor by all." And this is significant because Paul was not always fair in his language toward women. Some scriptures that he wrote have been used to actually mistreat and abuse women in the church. And so I think scriptures like this take careful and diligent interpretation. In Paul's culture, women and men were just by nature held to different standards of sexual behavior. It was wrong, but it was happening. And I think this was still in Paul's DNA as a Roman citizen. But here in our scripture, Paul switches gears and says all, as if both spouses in a relationship have to sacrifice to show their love for each other, just like God, through Jesus, sacrificed to show his love for each one of us. I've learned that relationships, not just loving relationships, but friendships and relationships at work, etc., they often take work. And I think this is really the broader thing that Paul is talking about here. So if we take out ancient culture and all of his biases in verse 4, we're reminded that when we love somebody, when we have people in our lives, when we love someone romantically, this is part of the way that we see God, and often unexpectedly. It's just that in our love for each other, everyone has to feel safe. Now, verse 5, another difficult scripture, Paul tells us that folks are not to have a love for money. Now, sex and money, these are two things preachers don't like to talk about, so I'll keep trotting along. Notice here that Paul does not say that money is evil. It's the love of it that is. When money is more important than all the other relationships in our lives, we're not able to fully love as Christ taught us. And we lose that empathy that Paul was talking about a few moments before. He says, be content with what you have. And he quoted a scripture from the book of Deuteronomy. I will never leave you or forsake you. Now, this would have been so hard for Paul's people to do, the people of Hebrews, especially when so many people were feeling economic pain because of their faith. Some of them had been kicked out of their jobs or careers or excluded from trade guilds because they had shifted to Christianity instead of the Roman imperial religion. And so he kept them, just focus on your relationships, focus on things that matter. Money, you can always get more of that, but you can't always get new relationships, he said. And he reminded them of a very familiar scripture. The Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What can anyone do to me? You know, if you ever feel threatened or upset or angered or mistreated or abused, you know, I just encourage you to, yes, seek safety and rely upon those loving relationships in your life that build you up. And yet remember this verse as well. The Lord is my helper. What can anyone do to me? You know, the people of Hebrews, they had some real struggles, but Paul felt even then, even in their challenges, there was room for commitment. Many people today seek wealth, and I'm not just talking about billionaires that we hear about in the news. I've heard a lot of stories. I know a lot of people who focused so much on their jobs at the neglect of their families and other relationships. Paul is telling us that our monetary decisions in life should reflect mutual love for others and even the stranger. God made this beautiful world with more than enough in it to last for eons. And there's no reason why anyone should be hungry or thirsty in this world. If there was less hoarding and more sharing, there would be an abundance for all. And our relationships with others in our life would be blessed. Finally, Paul writes in verse 7 to remember their leaders. Again, the common thread is relationships throughout this scripture. And Paul wanted the people in the churches that he was writing to remember that even the people who had passed away, who had gone before them and had taught them the faith, they lived on through them and they had a relationship with the saints. We as Christians honor the saints, and we celebrate All Saints Day once a year to remember the saints, both large and famous, and the saints that have acted in small ways in our own lives. And so speaking of that, can you think of people who were instrumental in your faith? Who were the folks that worked really hard to teach you about Jesus? There were a lot of moms and grandmas in my life that did that for me, and I'll always be thankful for them. And each of us do a lot of things for God. And so hopefully, maybe one day, people will remember us with that same love that we have for those who've gone before us. We are in relationship. We stand on the shoulders of those who have gone before us, who have taught us the faith. And there will be those who stand on our shoulders in the next generation of believers. Well, like the lives of those who live on in our own, Paul says in verse 8, this very beautiful phrase, Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. What a beautiful verse. We can trust in God's love for us and his love for humanity throughout the ages. Jesus' promises are true forever, and a lot of us have found this true in our own lives. Well, our reading skips to verses 15 and 16, which says, continually give praise to God. And he quotes Hosea from the Old Testament that says, repentance is the fruit of our lips. Paul was speaking their language, you see. Both personal worship and public witnesses are sacrifices that we can make to God. God speaks to us in unexpected ways, as he did through the angels throughout Scripture. And I believe that one of the ways that God often speaks to Christians today is in the words and the music of worship. When we come together in worship, either in person or online, we aren't just a passive audience. Used to, growing up before I went to seminary, I thought you sitting in the pews or watching on the screen were the audience, and the preacher and the liturgist were on the stage. But when I went to seminary, we talked about how we're all on a stage and God is the audience. And this is a sacrifice that we are offering to God. That's why worship is so important. We're not just a passive audience at church, or at least we shouldn't be. So we should consider, what are we doing in our worship that is an offering to God? As Paul says, the fruit of our lips. There's no right way to worship, despite what many church governments have said throughout the ages. Personal devotion to God comes not only in our service to others, but what Paul tells people in verse 16 is to don't neglect to do good. Be extra vigilant to who needs help around you and to share what you have. Now here is where Paul uses one of my favorite Greek words in the New Testament, koinonia. You've heard me mention it before. Koinonia is a sacred, abundant sharing. It comes from our heart. It's a fellowship and a communion. Paul says that when we share with one another, this is a sacred offering that we offer to God. So whatever your financial situation is in life, when we can share, when we can, those of you who give to the food bank, when you share a kind word, when you stop talking and listen, when you lend an ear, these are all things that we do, we share in sacred koinonia. This sacrifice that we offer, both of praise to God when we come together in worship and when we share what we have with others generously, these are ways that we can show that radical, wonderful Philadelphia. Well, there's a lot in this scripture today, and all these little pieces could be a sermon on their own, but the way I've bundled it together is I feel that we can, the common thread that goes throughout all these verses is how God and God's love in Jesus Christ is often made known to us unexpectedly, and especially through the others and relationships around us. I'm not telling you anything you haven't heard, and I've said this many times before. God has a way of breaking into our lives with the hope of the resurrection. God calls us to share this radical love of Jesus with others because it's yet another way that God comes into this world, often unexpectedly. Think of all those that have shown up in your life, that have supported you and built you up, that have brought you healing, that maybe you wouldn't be here today had it not been for them. This is God's work in your life. And I want to also tell you something. God is using you. God wants to use you to be that same unexpected angel for someone who needs it. And I know many of you are, and I thank you for that. Like the friends that we've met in the craziest of places and all the times that the world has seemed so small, God meets us where we are as we are. And I think it's one of the greatest challenges of our faith to reach people on the margins transformationally. Well, this fall, you're going to be hearing a lot more from me about taking the church outside the walls of the sanctuary, outside the walls of the building, and outside the walls of our imagination. God meets us where we are, and so we should also go where the people are. Methodists have always been about this sort of thing. John Wesley, the founder of Methodism, was an Anglican priest in the Church of England in the 1700s. John Wesley started in preaching in the fields, in the coal mines, and in marketplaces, but this caused a disagreement between him and other Christians. Other preachers thought it was inappropriate to go outside the church building and to not preach from behind a pulpit. But John Wesley thought we should be going where the people are. We should be preaching outdoors to people who don't go to church, to people at work and people who are going to and fro. And John Wesley gave that famous quote, "The world is my parish." Well, the world is our parish as Methodists. And when Methodism came to America in the 1780s, the Republic was spreading west. And so Methodist ministers were often appointed west into the wilderness. And when a church was started, a village would be built up. And then they would go west a little bit more, and a church would be started, and then a village would build up. And it was this way that Methodism and the Republic built upon each other and became strong together. This Methodism grew so fast in the 1800s because going where the people are is in our roots. It's in our DNA. Methodists love to go where people are, whatever the situation. So everything is all sort of related in this scripture. Love of God, loving each other. And through our worship, service, and sacrifice, they reveal that the love that God has for all of us in Jesus Christ. Love God, love others, worship, and serve. That's pretty much what we need to remember from this scripture. So today, as part of our worship service is in the park, and some is through the wonders of technology, sometimes worshiping in these new ways make us feel vulnerable. I was talking to Jake earlier before we recorded this that it makes me more nervous to record online when nobody's here. And I don't really know why. I think it's just out of the ordinary. Being in the park, we're dressed differently. We don't know the weather. It's sometimes different, you know, praising God with the wind blowing our papers and we're all visible to strangers. In the park, sometimes it may feel fun. In other times, it may feel a bit strange. But let our time out in the open, Let our time together online, let the times where we as a church go outside these walls be a reminder that God is indeed present wherever we are. And let mutual love continue. Remember Philadelphia. Let's move out of our comfort zone sometimes. Let's do more of this. Let's share the love of God outside these walls. And when we do this, let's look for God to be present, often unexpectedly, who invites us to share his unexpected presence with the world and to share his hope and transformation. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's pray. Loving God, we give you thanks for your promise that you are with us always and that you often break through our lives unexpectedly. Lord, help us to remember in all of our relationships that we, in all the people we encounter this week, in the new people and strangers and strange people that we may meet, help them to find in us the love of Christ and the warmth of a friend. Guide us and direct us, Lord, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.